This episode is brought to you by Heidy. Imagine kicking back while a HIPAA-compliant AI scribe writes your soap notes for free. Yes, you heard us right. Heidy is free. I'm Dr. Tom, Heidi's CEO and founder, and we started Heidy to stop clinicians wasting their life on clinical documentation. Heidy transforms your consult babble into crisp, clear soap notes, personalizing itself with every edit. One day, Heidy will be your AI resident, looking through research, explaining plans, and doing anything you don't want to. If you currently pay for an AI scribe in your practice, you should swap to Heidy. We'll even credit you for anything you've already paid. Dive into the description for the link and make your practice the envy of every stethoscope in town. Sign up and watch Heidy work its magic, all for free, because you've got better things to do.
Today we have a sponsored episode, and we're going to be talking about an alternative way of investing that we haven't discussed in the past in all of our 300 plus episodes. We're going to talk about short-term investing, like, I mean, rapid fire buying and selling of different asset classes. So stay tuned. Hey, this is Brad Block, host of The Physician's Guide to Doctoring. This is a personal and professional development podcast for physicians where we have experts on the show that try to teach us everything we should have been learning while we were memorizing Krebs cycle.
Welcome back to the podcast. We have something a bit different today on this episode, which is a sponsored episode. We have Philip Chan. He is a serial entrepreneur. Having started businesses trading luxury watches of all things, he started an international leadership consulting business, traded cryptocurrency, all while obtaining his master's in applied statistics, data science, and analytics at the University of Kansas Medical Center. He is now the co-founder and CEO of Lightspeed Investing, which has a trading arm for short-term investing and an educational arm to teach people their proprietary techniques for short-term investing. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, is that short-term investing. Philip Chan, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me on, Dr. Bratley. Pleasure to be here.
Tell us just a little, the elevator pitch about Lightspeed Investing and what that's all about.
Yeah. So Lightspeed Investing, for the past 15 years, we've been able to manage money for high net worth individuals successfully on a consistent basis. But our emphasis, and that's why we're here today, is to bring to the public awareness about how you can actually leverage the futures and commodity financial markets when done the right way, like they are your own personalized ATM machine.
That is a bold statement to make right now. So we're going to flesh that out in a moment. So the first thing is, let's talk about what even those different asset classes are. So you talked about commodities. I would imagine those are like apples and pork bellies, right? Like, what are the different asset classes out there?
Yeah, that's great. So let's kind of do a little microbiology or blood clotting flow chart, right? For example. So it's always prudent to make sure you understand there's traditional investments versus alternative or non-traditional investments. So on the traditional side, you're going to have your things like stocks, real estate, college education, or a mutual fund. Where we are, we specifically lie on the right side under alternative investments, derivatives in the same neighborhood as cryptocurrency, art, and luxury timepieces. Now, within futures and commodities, you have different markets, right? So the futures financial markets denotes the Dow US 30 index, the Russell 2000.
Wait, actually, sorry, I'm gonna interrupt, because I would think of it as like publicly available trading, right? Like, you can trade stocks, bonds on public markets, but like real estate is not. And, you know, your investment in your college education is not. I thought that some of the things that you're referring to here, like futures and commodities, derivatives, are on publicly traded markets. So it's something that everyone would have access to. Am I incorrect in that assumption?
Well, you have to realize, you know, when we trade the futures and commodity financial markets, we engage in a different modality. So we're trading contracts. So you are right in the sense that, you know, it includes on the commodity side, soybeans, corn, gold, and oil, right? Where the history of how this was done has always been a bartering system, right? Yeah. You can actually get barrels of oil delivered to you, Brad, if you wanted to, right? So up until the mid-2000s, just a little history, is that they started transitioning from this physical exchange of goods to electronic. And so you no longer have to, you know, go through at least 30 minutes to an hour just to buy and sell an order, right? Where, you know, before in the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, you would have to have your order actually routed to the trading pit, a physical trading pit within the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. right? Everything here is now done electronically. So when we talk about futures and commodity, it denotes two things. Under futures, financial markets, it is the same thing as the Dow US 30, but it's the Dow US 30 as a whole index. And we trade contracts, not shares of stocks.
You lost me there. Contracts. What do you mean when you say contracts?
Yeah, so a contract is a term for saying if you are a buyer and I'm a seller, that there is an expiration date on the contract. So let's say you wanted to buy one contract of gold and I'm the one selling it and we engage in contracts. I'm obligated to sell you one contract of gold and you're saying I have the right to buy this one barrel of gold or this one piece of gold, so to speak. So a contract is a term used to denote the responsibilities the buyer and seller have to each other within this space.
Okay, but there's no exchange. Now, I understand that we're not working with physical bars of gold. We're working with a bar of gold that's in a building somewhere that used to belong to you and now belongs to me. But what's the significance of the referring to it as a contract instead of a sale?
I suppose that is the term denoted by the industry, right? So when you talk about—
Got it. Okay.
Because in Forex currencies, they talk about trading lots in Forex currencies, like the USD versus the Canadian. Right. Or the Japanese yen.
Okay, again, to clarify, Forex means foreign exchange.
Where we're in the same neighborhood as, right? You know, when you talk about stocks and those are shares of stocks, that's why I say they're more on the traditional side of things, because that's what the public knows the most about.
So the different asset classes so far, we've got stocks, bonds, foreign exchange, commodities, futures. Am I missing any?
I would back up and I would say there's your traditional versus non-traditional. And then as far as I'm concerned, within traditional, let's say you have stocks, bonds, treasury notes, real estate, and then on the right side under alternative, you're going to have, you know, futures and commodities, stock options, Forex, which is foreign currencies or foreign exchange, and then, of course, art and luxury timepieces as well, right, on top of cryptocurrency. So I'm sure there might be more, maybe like your NFTs, you know, could be considered one.
Now, are those as liquid as the standard investments?
Define, are they as liquid as the standard investments?
Meaning like, if I want to sell a stock, I can just sell a stock. I might not get the price that I want for it, but I can sell it as long as it's during trading hours. It sounds like a timepiece.
So here, to answer that question, when it comes to anything investing, right, there's three segments that anyone should pay attention to when they're looking to invest. First and foremost, what is the barrier to entry or the initial investment? Secondly, what is the runway, the time it takes for you to actually see something happen with that investment? And thirdly, the ROI, the rate of return generated. So specifically, what makes futures and commodities so different is that within the industry itself, we have a proprietary brokerage that we use that allows us to enter at a much lower rate. Okay, because even within the industry is very high. Okay. So for example, if no one knew about this database, they just knew of it and they just typed in the best trading platforms to trade futures and commodities. One of the first ones you're going to see is Interactive Brokerage. It's a very popular one. Now, what makes Interactive Brokerage very different versus the one that we use is, first and foremost, Interactive Brokerage is actually better used to manage money. It's also a brokerage that allows you to trade all sorts of different asset classes, right? You can actually trade stock options and stocks. On top of that, the one that we use is specifically for futures. In terms of barrier to entry, just to trade one contract of the Dow US 30 index with Interactive Brokerage, you're looking at about $12,000. And to trade one contract of gold and oil, respectively, on Interactive Brokerage, it's about $17,000 and $27,000. Now, the brokerage that we use, because it's specific to futures and commodities only, is known as what they call a discount brokerage. So that allows us to enter in a much lower requirement. So now when we talk about one contract of the Dow US 30 index, it is no longer $12,000, it is $500.
Got it. So one contract is like the smallest possible denominator. Actually, when you're moving your mouse across your screen, there's a smallest possible increment. And interestingly, because it's a mouse, it's called a Mickey. So like you're referring to the smallest possible increment of trading. That's what a contract is the smallest possible increment. Am I correct?
Correct. Yes. And that's one component.
Okay. What you're saying is that commodities are not available on the scale that stocks and bonds are, right? Like I can't trade commodities on my online Vanguard trading platform because it's just not available to me. And now it is available, but only in these specific ways. And you guys have access to, and I'm not talking about futures because I don't understand what futures are. So we're going to be talking about that in a moment, but just commodities. Like commodities are not publicly traded in the way that stocks and bonds are. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. You can't buy a tiny increment of oil. You need to be able to buy X amount of barrels at a time, which is a contract, whatever that happens to be based on the size and value and whatever. Okay. So now I'm understanding that a little better. Thank you. Now, the next question is, what is a future? I don't understand because why would I want to trade my future?
Oh, okay. So you're not trading your future. And I don't think anyone here should. Okay. So future is just a term used to denote the terminology of exchange. Brad, you and I are engaged in a term of agreement where, hey, I've got a soybean. All right. And I'm selling it at $5. I'm just making it up right now.
Yeah.
And you're saying, okay, well, I like that. I like that I can buy soybeans from you at $5 because I know in the future that price might go up to $8 per soybean. I'm going to buy in and lock in your price of $5 now. So that is the contract of obligation. You're always going to have a buyer and a seller. And the future denotes, you know, the activity that we're engaging in for that contract. Does that make sense?
No. So when I'm buying a commodity, or are you just referring to commodities futures, right? Or versus like shorting commodities, where the assumption is that the commodity's going to go down and you only make money if it goes down.
No. So what I'm getting at is there's the futures financial markets as well as the commodity financial markets, right?
Oh, you were just using a commodity as an example.
Yes, correct.
Sorry. So, that's where I got confused.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but what are you trading? Commodities, I understand, because it's stuff. Mm-hmm. Stocks, I understand, because it's company and a value of a company.
Yep.
So what is it that's being traded in futures?
Okay, so in futures, it's the index. So you have the Dow US 30 as a whole index. You're not trading.
So it's an index fund.
Right, but you're trading the futures. Okay, for example, are you aware of stock options by chance, where there's an option to buy and sell the stock, but not the actual share of the stock itself?
No.
So
that's what I hired you for.
Okay, perfect. There's a fundamental difference within alternative investing with futures as well as stock options, right? And so the point of the futures financial markets is it is a way for you to trade the Dow US 30, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, as well as the Russell 2000 in a different manner than purchasing shares of those companies. That is what this allows a buyer or investor to participate in. It is a different modality of participation. Where with stocks, right, the main way to make money in that modality is buying shares of that company and watching it go up, right? Ideally, the markets go up because when the market share and valuation of that company goes up, you will profit, right?
Right.
Here, the main difference is you can actually make money when the futures and commodity financial markets go up, down, or sideways. And the reason you're able to do that is because it's not only based on a skill set, but it's based on the direction that you are saying these markets will move, right? So it is not based on an actual company and the trajectory of that company. It is based on the movement of these markets. And that's really what your focus is. You're saying from these factors that I'm looking at, is the futures or commodity financial markets going to move up or down? That's all that you're doing in order to take profits. Because this game inherently is a game of inputs, right? For you to actually make money, you have to have the right inputs. You basically have a 50% chance of being right or wrong, right? When you, let's say if you buy and the futures and commodity financial markets go up, then you're going to profit, right? And if you sell and the markets go down alongside with you, then you will profit. The difference here is that when the futures and commodity financial markets go down, it actually goes down 67% faster than when it goes up. So for example, what makes this game so unique, Brad, is that during the 08 stock market crash, okay, let's say you had $1 million tied to the stock market and out of nowhere, it dropped from the price of $10,000 to practically zero. The $1 million that you have as valuations of your shares are also going to collapse, right? And the issue at hand is you have no clue how long it's going to take for that market to go back up because it requires time. When we are talking about futures and commodity financial markets, remember, markets go down 67% faster than when it goes up. And you can actually place a sell button if you know what you're doing, which that's part of what we teach, right before the market drops. And so now when you place that order and the market drops, you're actually going to be in profit as opposed to watching your shares of stock collapse and being helpless.
But isn't that what shorting the market is? Or is future is how you short the market? Like, it's that's where I'm not understanding
it. We're doing it within the day. We do not hold anything overnight. What we're engaging it in is intraday, high frequency trading, just like a surgeon, a professional surgeon going in and out of the OR rooms. We're going in and out of the markets to take profits within the day, within half an hour to an hour and a half. When you buy and sell a stock, typically you're holding it. Typically, let's say if you bought a stock and back in 08, it collapsed. It's because you bought it and it collapsed on you. And when you buy it, you're holding it for days or weeks or months. Yeah. That's the nature of the game. Remember, barrier to entry, runway, and the ROI. The runway here with stocks is way longer. It's weeks, it's months, even years.
Are you looking to diversify your investment portfolio and maximize your returns? By learning short-term investing skills, you can yield higher returns at compressed speeds by creating income on a daily and weekly basis. Today's sponsor, Lightspeed Investing, has amassed over a decade's worth of success and experience in this field to teach you how to leverage the futures and commodity financial markets. Inspired by the billionaire natural gas trader, John Arnold, Lightspeed Investing has built a proprietary training and educational platform. For more information, connect with President and CEO Philip J. Hawk Chan on LinkedIn, where you can start your journey towards financial freedom and abundance at lightspeed rates, like many medical professionals already have.
Well, the difference between the term that's commonly bandied about for what you're talking about is day trading, right? Now, this is not what you guys refer to it as because but it's short-term investing. That's really what it is. It's short versus long. The difference, you know, the IRS has their, you know, difference on, you know, you've got to hold for a certain amount for it to be capital gains versus
that's
income
right.
tax.
We do not hold anything overnight here.
So it's really short investments, right, that you're making, these quick trades. That's the idea. And it's done in these alternative exchanges. And so you guys chose of all of these different things, commodities and futures, to the exclusion of all of these other types of assets. And is that because of the rate at which they change so that you're able to do these trades over such a short period of time so that they can change significantly enough that it is
That is a great question. Yeah, the answer is a yes, first and foremost, to keep things simple. But more importantly, this was not founded by us. Okay, so to give the audience some reference points, you need to understand that there is a gentleman by the name of John Arnold, who after graduating from Vanderbilt was able to take $1.5 million to $1.5 billion in 2.5 years when he traded the commodity natural gas correctly and effectively. And because he was able to do this, that's what allowed him to be coined as one of the youngest billionaires in the US at age 33 back in 07. There's also another gentleman named James Simmons, who is the CEO of Renaissance Technologies. And Mr. Simmons is currently in his 80s right now, I think 85 or 86, but he didn't not enter this game until he was in his 70s. Now he's amassed in the course of a decade plus, a net worth of over $20 billion. And the reason for that is because he's one of the pioneers in our field that's figured out automated software trading. And so naturally, if you didn't study college textbooks or the medical sciences, but instead put that energy towards, let's say, the top 42% of the world who actually do this for a living, and Forbes, right? You would find that on average, futures and commodity billionaires are 30 years younger than real estate billionaires. And that's because of the short-term investing style that allows them to not be apprehensive about the volatility, risks, and fluctuations involved in the markets like your typical person. They actually utilize those things to their advantage so that they can make massive returns accordingly.
So you mentioned that risks, and I want to explore that a little bit, because in medicine, we are inherently risk averse. And part of the reason we're risk averse is what we do every single day with patients is mitigate their risks, right? These are what you need to do. This is what you need to do in order to not have a negative outcome. These are the medications you need to take. These are the activities. These are your scans you need to get so we can make a diagnosis and minimize your risks of having an adverse outcome, right?
Exactly.
But I would imagine that short-term investing requires a certain amount of risk tolerance.
Yes.
Correct?
Risk management is actually one of the first things that we address within our fundamentals.
Right. Warren Buffett, right? Key to investing, don't lose money.
So I'm glad that you mentioned that, man, because it's super important. Brad, our way of approaching these markets to start, right, is a very conservative 1-to-3 risk to reward ratio. Now, actually, before I dive in, I need to give you some context. So one contract of the Dow US 30, we're talking about points, okay? So in this game, the inputs really matter because inputs dictate outputs. Don't look at the money. Money is a byproduct of your inputs. So the name of the game is to extract points from these markets, and that's how you can turn them into your personalized ATM machine. So off of one contract and 1 point of the Dow US 30 index equates to $5. In different markets, these points denote a different monetary system. So just bear with me for the Dow US 30.
Yeah.
At 10 points, it becomes $50 of profit. And at 100 points, it equates to $500 worth of profit. Okay. And this is off of one contract. So your job as a professional trader, not an amateur day trader, is to extract from the points from these markets so that you can actually profit. So in this case, if you are able to extract 100 points from the market, Brad, you're going to extract $500 from the markets. And as you get better with your skill set, let's say you are able to now trade more contracts, right, to let's say 10 contracts, that $500 becomes $5,000. Of course, the brokerage would take commissions from you, but they're very small, comparatively speaking. So let's just keep it at a high level. At 10 contracts, that now becomes $5,000. And 100 contracts, it becomes $50,000. Now, let's talk about the risk-to-reward ratio with that background information at hand. Our job is a 1-to-3 risk-to-reward as professional traders who start. So we're risking, let's say, 5 points to make 15 points, right? In terms of numbers, we're really risking $5 to make $15. Right, 1 point for three, okay? $150 to make, $50 to make $150, and $500 to make $1,500. Now, two things here. As your skill set grows, not only can you dial up the size of your contracts from one contract to 5 to 10 to then 100 later down the road, your risk to reward can also be expanded to where you're not just going after a 1-to-3. You can go after a 1-to-5, and ultimately 1-to-10 is the sweet spot. Because 1-to-10 means you're risking 10 points to make 100 points. So what's the math on that? You're risking 50 to make 500 when your skill sets allow you to do so. But at the beginning, you want to focus on trading one contract, and you want to focus on trading a minimum of 1-to-3 risk-to-reward ratio.
Well, that all sounds very abstract, but I'm sure you get into it in much more detail. Like, it makes sense, right? Like, if you make a certain number of bets and you're more likely, your odds are 3-to-1, right? You're going to come out on top if your odds are.
So it's just really simple. Right? Let's say you were wrong on that trade at 1-to-3. You would lose. I'm not saying that we don't lose. You would lose $5. But if you won, you would win 15.
Right, but if the odds of you winning are 1%, then you're gonna keep making that bet. You're just gonna keep losing money. So it needs to be like your likelihood of being correct on that bet also needs to be proportional to the risk that you take.
Well, and that's why you really want to enter these markets with a proprietary system, right?
Right.
So similar to diagnosing proper, patient history and outcomes and looking at different factors before actually saying, I think here's what's going on. You know, we have devised 5 to 7 factors that are proprietary to our educational services. And only when these factors are in confluence do you enter in the trade.
So I would imagine that the people that were trading against, and I guess it's not a zero sum game, right? Like you're not really, it's like you're playing poker and there's 7 other people at the table and you got to be able to read what they're doing, right? It's not a zero sum game, but nonetheless, like there are not only professionals out there that were also trying to work this system, but there are also like AI algorithms that are trying to identify the patterns and learn and do better that are backed by these billionaires that you're referring to. So, you know, how can I be confident that I'm going to be able to turn this into something?
I love that. So first and foremost, right, that's why, you know, for us, we have a very systematic way of approaching these markets. So Brad, you're an ENT trained medical professional, right? And so when it comes to surgery, I think you and I can agree there's a fundamental difference between learning how to do surgery and actually operating on a live patient in the OR room, right? It becomes really real when you have to do that. Now, the same approach here. So how do you start the journey of becoming a fantastic ENT surgeon? You first start by learning, right? And absorbing the knowledge and being a sponge. And then what happens is you want to make sure you execute where you have more successful surgeries than non-successful surgeries on a mannequin patient first during your training or watching over someone else's shoulder.
Yeah. See one, do one, teach one. Yep.
Do one, teach one. But if you really want to get hands-on, you got to practice on that mannequin patient though, right? It can't just be live out of nowhere. I mean, if it's a live one, you're maybe just small inputs, but this is analogy to trading, right? So you have to be the one doing it. So in this case, it's got to be that mannequin patient to mitigate risk on life and death. And only when you have more successful surgeries and non-successful surgeries, do you go, I have the data, I have the track record and performance. Let me transition now to the live OR room and actually operate on someone for real. And so in this case, you know, the way that we construct our trading educational components is you first learn and absorb.
And then you've got like a mock market that you have them participate in?
A simulated environment. Right?
Wow, that's really interesting.
To you within the brokerage, the proprietary brokers that we recommend. And then you transition live and practice and actually put real money on.
Well, if the audience is convinced, if they're like, listen, I want to learn more about short-term investing from Philip Chan at Lightspeed Investing, where do they go? Where do they find you?
Well, first and foremost, feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. You can find me at Philip J. Hawk Chan under Lightspeed Investing. But more importantly, Brad, we demonstrate our skill set live every single day, right? So typically speaking, for our paid clients, we have paid weekly sessions from them where we actually break down these futures and commodity financial markets, explaining how things happen and why they happen. That occurs on Mondays and Wednesday evenings, while on Tuesdays and Thursday mornings, for half an hour, we actually prove what we teach. We go live and we make money in front of our audience by showing them our trades and also explaining the thought process behind our trades. So if anyone really is compelled by this conversation, I would suggest you reference the show notes. And you, because you are listening here, you can secure a complimentary 2-week access to these paid client sessions at zero obligation. All you have to do is book a call, right? Because that call allows us to identify, this is a concierge call where we serve you and we identify the best 2 weeks that works with your schedule. And on top of that, way we can get to know each other a little bit, right? What does your investment history look like in terms of previous experience and endeavors? Why is it that after listening to this episode, you're now intrigued to learn more about the short-term style of investments and how does this fit into your overall investment portfolio? So feel free to reference that link, book that call so you can secure your complimentary 2-week access where we actually prove our skill sets in front of you.
Well, thank you so much for your time. This has been a really interesting talk. I've learned a lot about these alternative investments and short-term investing. Best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks again from Heidi. Elevate your practice with a free AI scribe, zero cost, HIPAA compliant, and time saving. Ready to swap? We've got you covered for past AI scribe expenses. Head to HeidiHealth.com, get started, and make your practice the envy of every stethoscope in town. Thanks for listening. I have a favor to ask. You listened to the episode until the end, which means you either fell asleep or you really liked the episode. So please share it or like it.
or comment on a social media post, or write us a 5-star review, something. It would really help me out. And maybe what you learned from this episode can help someone else too. The views expressed in this episode are those of the interviewer and interviewee and don't represent the views of their employer or even their significant other. Even though the magic of podcasting make it sound like I'm talking directly to you, this is not a doctor-patient relationship, and this is not medical advice or financial advice or really any advice. Thank us again for listening to The Physician's Guide to Doctoring.